I want to welcome back to Upcoming Disc, Michelle Danner. She's the director of the new movie out called Miranda's Victim. And I have to say before we start anything that this movie was actually more in my wheelhouse. I spent 12 years as a private detective. I then went back to school, started teaching criminal law and court procedures to high school kids who were thinking about heading into the law profession. So this was really nice. And I have to say it's about time someone did a film about one of these things like the Miranda rights from the point of view of the victim, because we keep forgetting that while there might have been a criminal who wasn't treated properly, there's a victim behind all of these cases, and I want to congratulate you on for making that point for us.
Well, thank you so much. I set out to tell the story of what happened, and this is very true to the facts, and it's a fascinating story. Very, very excited to be able to tell it.
It is a very fascinating story. And I'm wondering that if, I know that it was back not too long ago, I think 2019 or so, that Trish Ware identified herself publicly, that she finally let us know who she was, because of course she was, being a rape victim, her name was shrouded in secrecy. But she finally came forward. Did that have anything to do with the timing of this movie?
I don't know, in the sense of her coming forth with her story.
Well, not with the story so much, but with her identity. She finally let people know who she was, because in the Miranda case itself, she was never mentioned by name because of the fact that it was a sexual crime.
Yes, I mean, this, of course, is 60 years later, and yeah. She's now 78. I think a lot had to do with she didn't want her family, her children, to know. And they didn't know.
Right.
Until, a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted also, I think, to put it behind her and to move on.
Well, yeah, I think that's fair. And like I said, she recently did decide to come out and identify herself. And like I said, I was wondering if that had anything to do with the timing of you making this movie now.
Maybe. George Culver
right.
is the one that asked the question. He asked the question. He said, what happened to the victim?
Right.
And he researched it. And he went to look for her, and he asked her to tell your story. This is an important story. And she, I think, really realized the absolute importance of it and agreed. So, yes, coincidentally, it all kind of came out, at the same time. But if we would have never made the movie about her story, it's possible that she would have kept it still very private.
Yeah, well, I think that it definitely hits this from what some of the courts might consider the wrong perspective, because we get too much concentration on the criminal rights, not as much on the victim rights these days. And I like the way you balanced it in the story. You portrayed, I think, both sides quite fairly, and that must have been a challenge to do that.
Well, I wanted to tell the story, right? I didn't want to take a stance.
Good, yes. So
I wanted to stay true to the facts. And I think that I achieved that.
You did. That's exactly what I mean.
It was such an incredible story to begin with, and the thing that always got me was this idea of justice,
Yes.
What does it take to really get justice? And if you don't get full justice, then there is such a thing as karmic justice.
Yes.
Like they say, karma's a bitch. It comes around. So I thought that part of the story, that is very true, what happened to him.
Yes.
I think really illuminated that fact of, how justice can come full circle.
I think it really did. And, of course, the movie does an excellent job of showing us just how brave this woman was. And I have to tell you that, to me, also applies to Abigail Breslin, the woman who you got to play her. Very brave performance. She put it all out there. And I think that really helped to send that message home.
Well, Abigail Breslin is a very, very brave,
yes.
talented young actress. She showed us the magnitude of her talent. So when she was a little baby, when she
right.
was a 9-year-old in Little Miss Sunshine. But she was very brave, and she understood something, very deep about this subject matter, and she wanted to say something in it that was powerful, and she did.
I agree, and I also love the evolution of the character. When we start out, she's this very naive young girl. This happens to her. She goes through all these various feelings. She goes through the anger. She goes through the embarrassment. And finally, she goes through the courage and becomes something very different by the end of this, and Abigail did such a wonderful job of allowing us to see these various evolutions of where she was at particular points, because the movie spans a good bit of time as well.
Yes, it starts in 1963, when the night where she is abducted,
right,
on March 3rd, and it ends in 1975, when she's finally released from this, you know, ultimate nightmare. On a certain level, because, you know, one of the things that is true is that you never really, truly, completely get over something like this.
Of course not. Of course not. But I love the evolution of the character and the way she handled it. So how did you come across Abigail? How did you decide that she was the perfect one for this?
Well, I was, you know, looking and thinking about who would play it. And, you know, of course, it's an actress. She starts at 18 years old, and then she evolves in the course of the decade plus.
Yes.
And, you know, there were a lot of young actresses that, you know, I had considered. But then Abigail's picture was on the right of my desk, and I remember thinking, stop screwing around and cast a real actress that can handle this part. And we sent her the script. She read it right away. And then the morning after, we met, and we looked into each other's eyes, and we said, we're going to do this together. And so it happened fairly quickly from the moment I said, you know, she's the one.
That, you know, that's amazing, because you have some truly iconic actors in this film, and they all do wonderful jobs. But if not for her, if she wasn't as good as she was, the movie isn't going to work. She has to really carry the emotional heart of this movie, and none of the other talents would have mattered if she didn't really hit it, and she did.
Like you said, she really had to carry it. It was on her shoulders, yes.
She surely did. And what about getting some of these powerhouses that you got? You got Donald Sutherland, you got Andy Garcia, you got some really heavy names in here. How did you get them interested in the role?
You know, it's interesting. Sometimes, you know, you don't know when an actor is going to respond to something. But now, having worked with Donald and knowing him, he's such an extraordinary, you know, soul, gentleman, artist, human being. When he said yes, and he always reminded me of my father my whole entire life, I felt in that moment that my dad, who's no longer here on Earth with us,
right,
looking over this project, it was like an angel. And I felt that it was a sign that my father was, you know, helping from wherever he is,
right,
because Donald said yes. So it was just a moment of elation when he did, and you know, everything fell into place after that.
I'm sure. And what about Andy Garcia?
Andy Garcia was also my first choice, and I offered him the part. And I actually had worked with Enrique Murciano, who plays Detective Cooley.
Yes.
Who was a student of mine decades ago, who I've always kept in touch with. I cast him in his first movie, in my first movie, How to Go Out on a Date in Queens. And ever since then, I've always called him to be part of any, because he's so wonderful. And he was always working. And
I'll bet.
The same thing with all his agent, and he was working. So I called him directly. I said, Enrique. And he said, oh, I'm going to have him kill me off that series so I can come do this movie with you. And he, you know, knows Andy very well. And he put in a good word to Andy. And he's the reason, you know, one of the reasons why also Andy said yes.
Yeah,
in addition to the fact that, you know, he was definitely intrigued by the story.
And, you know, I've always found that Enrique and Andy, they look a little bit alike. They could be brothers.
Well, they have worked together many times.
Yeah. Well, I remember him mostly from, I forget the name of the show. Was it Cold Case? Where they used to go after
Without a Trace.
Without a Trace, that was it. Yeah, I knew where they went after missing people, missing persons. It was quite a while ago, but I remember he was a strong actor in that show.
Also, he's in the show Bloodline. He does a fantastic job.
Yes, he is.
Bloodline.
So what about some of the people who are still alive from this story? Did any of them come and join you in any way, help with the consulting, or in any way affect the movie?
Well, Patricia Weir, it's her story,
yes,
and she came. As a matter of fact, there was an event in New Jersey last month where I brought her out and introduced her, and there were 700 people there, and they all rose and applauded her, and it was such a moment, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, it was an incredible moment. And she was on set. In fact, fun fact, she's part of the wedding scene.
Yes.
And Josh Bowman, who plays her husband, Charles, comes out and basically, you know, kisses her on the cheek. so she was there that day. And, so it was definitely, she was part of this. And we have her blessing, and she thinks the movie is great, and she loves the movie.
Yeah, I'm sure she does. Some of the courtroom scenes that we have, were those taken at all from the actual transcripts, or did you guys kind of Hollywood it up a little bit?
No. A lot of it came from the transcript. Of course, you know, when you have writers, they create dialogue.
Right.
And, but it's definitely from the court transcripts.
That's great, because it I think that added a realm of realism to it. The other thing that I noticed about the film is sometimes you do a little jumping in time back and forth, and I'm wondering what was behind that idea.
That's such a good question that you're asking. Well, you know, at first the script was linear. There's the script that you start to prepare with in pre-production, the script that's written, and then there's the script that you shoot, and then there's the script, the story that you put together when you are putting it together in the editing.
Exactly, yes.
In the post-production.
Mm-hmm.
And what I really discovered is that to tell the story linearly, in a linear way, was not as compelling as telling it in this way.
Okay.
And you know, when you're doing the editing, you have the Rubik's Cube in your hand, and you play around different, you know, you try and move it around with different combinations.
Right.
But I felt that it was, you know, most interesting the moment you knew the outcome of one particular trial.
Right.
You know, you were not as intrigued to know what happens next.
Yes.
So I feel that this way, you know, moving back and forth a little bit, gave us, and I think I'm right from, you know, now having, you know, traveled to the festival circuit and gone through reviews.
Yeah.
That this is what keeps people, you know, more engaged with it. It makes it compelling.
Yeah, I think you could be right about that. And particularly I noticed it in telling the story of what happened that night. We get various pieces of it at different times, and I think that helps to do it in a more respectful manner, because we didn't need this overwhelming, you know, titillating scene on something that was very tragic and very serious. And I think the way you tied it to the recollection things, I think added a bit of respect and put it in the way it really needed to be expressed.
Well, you know, that definitely also was a choice.
Yeah.
Is to handle this in a delicate way and, you know, not to be exploitative with this.
Exactly.
And a lot of people appreciated it. And, you know, some people want it to be more raw and more salacious and more this and more that. But from the very beginning, the choice was to handle it in that way.
Well, yeah, because you're you know, your loyalty is to the story, not to what other people might want to take from it. And I think that shows throughout the film that you're particularly trying to pay some respect and loyalty to the story, to the woman's story.
Exactly. That's exactly right. It really had a responsibility to, you know, tell her story and not exploit it.
Yeah, well, I have to tell you, I found the movie to be a wonderful change of pace for some of the law movies that you see these days, because this really is a part of a story that no one ever really touches. I honestly can't remember another film that dealt with the victim side of one of these, you know, landmark rights cases. And yes, there's good things that came out of that rights cases, and yes, it needed to happen, but people tend to forget that human tragedy was at the heart of all of it, and I think you did a great job of reminding us of that and making sure that story is out there.
Thank you so much. You know, when people respond to the work, it makes me just, you know, obviously makes me feel so good. I feel like we've all done our jobs.
Well, I think you did a great job. Was there much left on the editing floor that you wished it had been in the movie?
No. I think that, you know, I wasn't going to do a 3-hour movie, and I was very conscious of time, and I was conscious of it having the right rhythm.
Yeah.
I think at a certain point, you know, you extend your welcome. So you have to tell a story in the tightest way that you possibly can, and that's what I set out to do. I couldn't cut any more out of it because, like I said, I just wanted to be true to the story.
Right. Well, I have to tell you, I enjoyed it from both the critic point of view and from the person who's been in the law business for a long time. I think you hit things right. And that's why I asked about the transcripts for the court, because the court stuff really was quite convincing and quite accurate, which I get so upset about when I watch law shows and I see them take all these, you know, liberties that I'm like, you can't do that. So it was quite accurate, and that's why I asked about the transcript stuff. So you did a marvelous job with this. I hope that it gets a lot of attention out there, because this is a story that I think people need to know, and I'm hoping that you get it out there and that people have a chance to really experience this.
Well, I hope so too. You know, there's so many movies, especially in this time of the year, you know, you're competing with so much and so many TV shows, and so I hope the exact same thing. Yes.
Well, yeah, and that's true, because us as critics, because we're getting into awards season now, we're getting inundated with things to watch for awards consideration. And quite honestly, it's hard at this time of year for something to stand out for me, but I think this one's going to stand out for me.
I hope so. And I hope also it'll stand out the test of time, you know, that it's a gap in our history. People never knew how this happened. My last movie, The Runner, first scene in, you have the right to remain silent, right? But you never questioned, where did the story come from? How
right.
did this happen? I mean, these are, you know, civil rights liberties that affected all of us.
Yes.
In our, you know, in our country, and had repercussions all over the world in terms of, you know, rights.
Yes, they did.
And, you know, there's rights for everybody, you mm-hmm. know, rights for the innocent and rights for the guilty. And I think that moment when Donald Sutherland said, you know, you can afford it, every privilege.
Yes.
Afford it, yeah. You know, I think that's such an important moment in the movie. I can't even tell you, it was a joy to work on this from the very beginning of it. The ease that it fell into, it was just an important story, and everybody felt it. You know, even, you know, bigger parts, smaller parts, it didn't matter. The young actor that played, Ernesto Miranda, Sebastian
right.
Quinn, everybody came with their hearts open and their passion and desire to tell this important story. And I hope that it will stand the test of time and different generations will watch it, because it's something in our history that we don't know about.
Yeah, I hope so too. So how can people get this? Is this available on any of the streaming services? Is it available on DVD?
It'll go more wide, but it's available on demand, and it's available on Amazon, on Vudu, on Apple. People are watching a lot on Amazon and on Apple.
Okay. Do you guys have any physical media release plans?
Yes, you mean like DVDs? Yes, they're working on the DVD for sure.
Well, that's great. Then this thing will get out.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming back and talking to us about another great movie, and I enjoyed it, and I wish you nothing but the best in getting this message out, because it's important. It really is important.
Thank you so much. So grateful that you're doing this podcast, this interview. Thank you.